Thank you, Paul. Just before I start, apparently in the notice sheet, the date for the Rooted Cookathon is wrong. It should be the 16th of November. That's 16th November for the Rooted Cookathon. Be there or miss out. So we're thinking about the vine and the branches. Last Sunday, Dave Horsfall spoke very well, especially considered he had a croaky voice. And I don't know if I'll speak as well as him today, but I can definitely beat him on the croaky voice front. Just before I start, I'd like to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and active. Please speak to each one of us now. Please say what you want to say and may it connect with us where it needs to. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to say, just to be honest, it's felt like a big walk getting up here when going through difficult circumstances. But we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. And we can take comfort from that regardless of what's going on in our lives. These are no doubt familiar words from John 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." You may wonder where it comes from. Well, it comes from Isaiah chapter 5, which you may want to look at in your own time. Isaiah chapter 5 is where Israel, the Israelites, God's chosen people, were called the vine. But it also says that they failed because they were not fruitful because they disobeyed God. What we hear in John 15 is Jesus saying, "I am the vine." Effectively, he is the new vine. And he's saying that everyone who follows him is a branch on that vine. So the branches are not just the Israelites. The branches are people like you and me. Anyone who will realize their desperate need for salvation. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? We need Jesus. I don't know how to work this. Pardon? Someone said to me. Okay. That wheel on the side? To you. Oh, did I do that? Wow, thanks. I'm a bit worried that it's going to go the other way when I want to move it on again. Thank you. So, you may have heard this quote, you may have heard of Pascal, the French physicist and mathematician. He once said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus." I don't know if you knew, but out of the population of planet Earth, 7 billion, give or take a few on either side, there are more people who identify with a faith, by far, than those who don't. There are way more Christians, Muslims, Jews, etc., than there are atheists or agnostics. People are searching for meaning. That might be what brought us here today. Verse 1 of our passage tells us, Jesus says, not just that I'm the vine, he says, "I'm the true vine." Now, by implication, that means that there are other vines. That there are other things that people can go to try and find truth, meaning, purpose, but they're false. False vines can be any things, money, status, whatever it might be, where we think we will find fulfillment, purpose, meaning. But we've heard Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in this series that we're in. Only Jesus can give us fulfillment, purpose, meaning. Only he can give us life in all its fullness. As we heard last week, he is the resurrection and the life. And as we've heard today, he is the true vine and we are the branches. Okay. Okay. That's the key verse for this morning. And I'm a little bit reluctant to put maths and formulas and things into our relationship with God. But there is something simple here. A principle that Jesus gives us. He didn't quite spell it out with abide plus obey equals fruit. But actually that is a really memorable thing that can help us to see fruit in our lives. If we abide in him and obey him, there will be fruit. There are many Christians who, they follow Jesus for a time. But when it comes to him asking them to do something they don't want to do, they complain and they get disheartened because they're not seeing the fruit. And they're not seeing the fruit because they're not obeying him. I say they. Sometimes that might apply to my life as well. But Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We heard that earlier, and I think the picture that you used earlier was better than that one. But it's the same thing being said. Be encouraged by Jesus' words in verse 9. If you've got your Bible open, I will make reference to various different verses. In verse 9 he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So Jesus loves us in the same way that God the Father loves him. In Jesus, through Jesus, the love of God the Father is revealed to us and made possible for us to know. We can't earn his love, but we need to accept his love to know the life that he came to give us. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. If we accept the love of Jesus, we are connected to him. We are connected to the Father. But we have to choose to abide. Another word for abide, we've seen it up there, is remain or continue. It's easy to remain, continue, following Jesus when things are easy. Really easy to do that. Goes without saying. I don't know what your circumstances are today, what challenges you may face or how hard life might be. It might be a grind, might be easy, might be somewhere in the middle. But may I humbly encourage each one of us to keep going with Jesus. Okay, this book I found really helpful. It's a quick read. It's called Abide. It's by Warren Wiersbe. You can get it from 10 of those. Really cheap, very accessible, and it's helped me to think about some of these things I'm speaking on this morning. I won't read you that quote, but I hope you can read it for yourself. If not, buy the book. It's great. Many Christians, I believe, settle for what I would call a low-level relationship with Jesus. We might expect a lot from him in our lives, but we don't really invest that heavily in that relationship ourselves. A guy called Charles Price said, when you became a Christian, God did not wipe his brow and say, phew, that's it. He or she is saved. He had much grander plans, much larger ambitions for you. Don't be satisfied with a rescue ticket to heaven. Live the life God intended for you now in the power that he provides. Press on to Christian maturity and be filled with all the fullness of God. If we were to individually look at our hearts in the silence now, I wonder how many of us could say with confidence, I am pushing on to maturity. I wonder how many of us are not satisfied actually at the moment in our relationship with God. And I'd like to pose this question. How do you abide in the vine that is Jesus? What connects you to Jesus that you choose to engage in? I'll leave that question with you. I wonder what you might be thinking about. Don't think about this. Here we go. Spiritual disciplines are a way of connecting us to Jesus. John Wesley very helpfully referred to them as means of grace because they help us stay connected to God's grace. You can see the emojis up there. We've got the Bible, we've got fasting, prayer, communion, serving, spiritual friends or fellowship. Maybe we could add other things to this, like sung worship. Do you know, we can go home after this service and say, oh, I've done quite a few of those today. The thing is, though, they're not chores or boxes to tick. They're things that, if we engage with them in our hearts, we can grow in our relationship with Jesus. I'm going to leave that up for a while. It might be that one or more of them challenge you, or it might be that they remind you to go home and do something that will help you to abide in Jesus. I wonder when was the last time any of us individually chose to do some of these things. Not out of feeling like we have to or should and beating ourselves with a stick, but because we love Jesus and because we want to know him and love him more and receive more of his love, learn more about his plans for our lives, be more fruitful, living for him in the world. I wonder when was the last time any of us fasted. Perhaps God is calling one or more people here to join a small group here at South Parade. They meet all over. It's a great way of doing some of these things, staying connected to grace, growing with brothers and sisters in Christ. Just to highlight one of these things, if you've got your Bible open, you might want to just quickly scan over the verses and see how many times Jesus talks about his words or his commandments. It's more than once for each, I'll tell you that much. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There is something really important for us about knowing what Jesus actually said. There's something really important for us about taking his words to heart and allowing them, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to direct our lives. The Bible is treasure. It's vital for life. Abiding in Jesus and obeying his words helps us to be fruitful. So I've spoken a bit about abiding. I'm going to speak a bit about obeying, and then I'll move on to talking about fruit. God calls each of us to follow him. In Jesus, he calls us back to himself. Do you know Jesus? If so, hopefully you've received a renewed hope. You know that there is a change that's happened in your life. The old has gone, the new has come. But there's so much more for all of us. If you are following Jesus, have you followed his command, not his suggestion, to get baptized? Hannah's getting baptized next week at Crag, and it would be great if that gathering was full. Please, some of you still come here, but it would be wonderful for Crag to be full next week, supporting that great decision that Hannah has made, a decision of obedience. Have you followed your commitment to Jesus through into becoming a member of South Parade, if this is the church that God's called you to? And are you serving him in the life of the church? Find out more about some of these things at the welcome meal next week if you would like to. It's worth saying that obedience is hard sometimes, because God sometimes calls us to do things that we maybe don't want to do, if we're honest. But actually, God blesses obedience too, and he knows what we need. I'm sure everybody in this room has disobeyed their earthly parents. Am I right? Are there any people here who can confidently say, I've never disobeyed? But does that mean that you don't love them? I don't think it does. But I would say that if we love our parents, whoever's in authority over us, or Jesus, one way of showing that love, perhaps the best way, is to obey what they're saying to us. I don't know what obedience looks like in your life, obedience to Jesus, I mean. But for all of us, it leads to fruit. Fruit is a really great visual thing to think about. And it's been wonderful thinking about the grapes and maybe eating them as well. In Matthew 7, Jesus talks about fruit. And he says, by their fruit you will know them. He's talking about false prophets. And he's saying that a false prophet, you'll know they're a false prophet, because they'll be bad fruit that comes from what they do. In Matthew 15:19, he tells us that out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Fruit, you see, fruit is the direct result of whatever controls our hearts. Some of us might be wriggling in our seats a little bit. We should feel uncomfortable and challenged by the Holy Spirit about those areas in our lives that are not entirely given over to the Lordship of Jesus. I'm not going to talk about pruning much, but Jesus does talk in John 15 about the need to be pruned of those things that do not bear fruit. So if there's anything in our lives that is not right, let's give that up. Let's give that up to God and ask that he would prune that away, that we might be more fruitful for him. All Christians bear fruit. Jesus said that the branches bear fruit. So whether you've been a Christian many years or just a day or two, there will be fruit in your life, whether you can see that clearly or not. It's a sign of belonging to Jesus. But how much we bear, I believe, depends on how we abide and how obedient we are when we hear his commands. What is the fruit? Well, we know it's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit is a helpful answer to that question, what is the fruit? But I think there's more than that. In verse 7 of John 15, Jesus talks about prayer being a fruit of faith. If our faith is growing, that will inform how we pray. That can be a sign of fruit. We could spend ages, though, considering what fruit looks like, and we could go home and calculate by which percentage we are growing in each of these different areas. And I don't think that's what God wants us to do. Fruit really is anything that shows that we are becoming more like Jesus. Kate Burkett has an excellent children's book called Basil the Branch. I don't know if you've seen it before. It's about this branch connected to a vine, and Basil the Branch is straining. He's straining to grow grapes. I think it's grapes. But he can't, because he's doing it in his own strength. And all he's doing is making himself angry and tired and fed up. We can't grow the fruit. It's God's fruit. It belongs to him. It's for his work. He grows it in us as we abide in and obey Jesus. We have to stay connected to Jesus, because the life that we are called to live, the life that we receive in him, is only found in him. The life comes from the vine, just like the life for grapes comes from the vine that they grow on. Are there any gardeners here today? Fantastic. A couple of gardeners here at Headingley Morning. Good. I bet there's some who maybe you wouldn't call yourself a gardener, but you know you're quite good at gardening, really. You're just really humble. We can only grow fruit that is true to the vine. I know what an apple tree looks like because I see the apples on it. But if you're a gardener, you may well know that it is possible to graft. It's possible to graft certain types of fruit onto another tree or vine. One of your ministers, and it's not Peter, has reliably informed me that apparently it's possible to graft a tomato onto a potato. Fascinating. Similarly, Romans 11 tells us that Gentiles have been grafted onto the vine. Jesus gave his life for everybody, didn't he? Not just the Jews. So anybody who calls Jesus Lord and Saviour can be part of the vine and belong to him. Let's be grateful that God has included us in his plans, not just for salvation, but also for mission and for fruitfulness in the world. Do you want to know Jesus better? Okay, I just want to highlight something which really excites me. It's something called the Inspire movement. Inspire is all about helping Christians abide more deeply in Jesus and live more missionally and fruitfully in the world. Do you want to know Jesus better or be more fruitful for him? Is the question I've challenged you with there. And if you look on inspiremovement.org, you can find out more about why I'm so excited about Inspire. We will be doing a teaching series on the principles of Inspire in the new year, here and at Crag, so that everybody has the chance to understand more about what excites me so much, and everyone can receive and grasp hold of that chance to abide more deeply in God and live more missionally and see more fruit in our daily lives. I've nearly finished, but I'd like to challenge you with just some questions as I close before I pray. Here we go. Remembering that abide plus obey equals fruit, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? If not, you could talk to someone here at the end. Or why not come to the welcome meal next week? You'd be extremely welcome to come to that. Perhaps God is calling you to focus on a particular spiritual discipline or means of grace to help you abide and remain in his love. It could be, although I only mentioned it fleetingly, that you know that you need to submit to the Father's pruning for those areas of your life that are just not quite right. Where do you need to do that? And what will you do about that in response to that challenge? And finally, it wouldn't be right to have a notice about the prayer room without asking the question, have I signed up to pray for an hour in the new prayer room? It's coming soon. It would be wonderful for that room to be filled, not just with people, but with prayer for the whole week. We are a people who believe in prayer, I believe. Am I right about that? Thank you. This side of the room believe in prayer way more. You. It would be so wonderful and so powerful for that room to be filled with praying people, even throughout the night. Do you know there will be fruit from those prayers if we choose to abide in that way? These challenges are for you. Please respond to them as feels most appropriate to you. I'm just going to pray, then I'll lead us through communion, and at the end of the service, Sarah will very kindly do a short blessing. Thank you.